Welcome to the Adventure Life Podcast, where we are finding adventure in the God of every day. And now your host, Will Ratliff.
Hey everyone, I'm Will Ratliff and this is the Adventure Life Podcast. I hope you're having a good week. It's been a bit of a crazy week here in Texas. Our whole family has been on quarantine. My son actually tested positive for COVID a while back, and so then we all had to quarantine. He had to isolate, which is okay. Our two-story house works out well for that since the kids are upstairs. And then my wife just had hip replacement surgery, which is crazy. She's 46, but has the hips of a 70-year-old. So she actually left for a few days at the beginning of quarantine to stay away from our son so she could move forward with a surgery. She definitely did want to test positive before that. She came back a day or two earlier than planned because of the massive storm that hit Texas. Our schools ended up closing all of last week here. Not just because of snow and ice, but because of the energy crisis. I don't know if you've heard about that, but it was just crazy. Our area didn't get hit as hard with all the energy crisis. We were actually part of a different energy organization up here up north, but in the south than in the south. But we still, all of our schools were closed for the week. I was off, the college that I work was closed for the week. So it was pretty crazy. So my wife, is currently about 2 days post-op, doing okay. She's moving around pretty good, but still in a bit of pain. It's better today. I suspect it will be better day by day. And we're definitely hoping and praying that once she does heal up, that it will help with the pain that she's been dealing with over the last couple of years. So we know a lot of people have been praying for her, so we appreciate the prayers. And we've been blessed with meals by different people, which is so humbling to have people come by, bring you a meal. It's definitely been a blessing there. So what I want to do this week, I want to continue the conversation from last week about marriage. I had Dina and Carrie Dyer on the show. They also happen to be my sister and brother-in-law, two of my absolutely favorite people on this planet. If you didn't get to listen to that last week, I would definitely encourage you to do so. We talk about what they've learned during their 26 years of marriage, including some hilarious stories about some of their funniest moments in marriage and some really good fight stories. And I hope that our conversation blessed you as much as it did me. There are definitely some amazing people with some great wisdom and some great laughs to share. This week, though, I want to talk about marriage as a partnership. And I come from a background that traditionally has said that the wife is submissive to the husband. And I've run into a number of couples, both younger and older, that believe that that's what the Bible teaches. And most of the time, that's because their pastor, whether, you know, the pastor that they were, as they were growing up, or their pastor currently, is preaching that from the pulpit. And I mentioned before that as I've gone on this adventure life journey, that a number of my beliefs have changed, and this is really one of them. It's really shifted over the years. And so what I believe now is not what I used to believe. And it's not because I don't believe in the Bible anymore or I'm just being rebellious. It's actually, I feel like what I believe is more in line with what Scripture teaches and more in line with where God's heart is when it, you know, as relates to marriage. Now, I was a bit older before I got married. I was 29, and Julie, my wife, was 26. I had some awesome life experiences. Also had a few major slip-ups in my 29 years of life. I definitely wasn't on the perfect end of the scale. Dated quite a bit in high school and college, but just never found the one. There's a couple of, you know, women that I dated that I thought could be the one, but those, thankfully, didn't work out. No offense to either one of them, but if you're familiar with the song Unanswered Prayers, well, I was definitely glad that God didn't answer some of my prayers in my early and mid-20s. By my late 20s, I'd actually nearly resigned myself to single life. I know, hard to believe, right? Just kidding. But actually, seriously, before I met my wife, I really did have some of those thoughts of, I wonder if God has called me to be single. Probably didn't help that I read through some of the New Testament letters where Paul exhorts those who are married or who are not married to stay unmarried. And a good friend of mine was single, and we had some talks about single life, so it was definitely on my radar. And this friend of mine actually happened to be a mutual friend of my future wife at the time and actually ended up introducing us to each other. But so I've shared a little bit about my story before. I was raised in a very strict home within a very conservative Baptist framework. Part of the beliefs that went along with this framework was a belief that the wife was to submit to the husband. Females were to be submissive to the males, and the bonds of marriage. Don't you love how that sounds? But I've also shared that I've come a long way from my initial beliefs when I was growing up. And this is one of those areas where I feel like I've grown and again, become more biblical in my understanding of what marriage is and the partnership that it is rather than a lording over by the man, which a lot of times that whole submissive framework really ends up in that is that the husband, the man typically uses it to lord over the wife and to, you know, take that stance of you've got to do what I say. Got a funny story about that I'll share in a minute. And I'll explain also why I've come to this different view. This may not be the most popular view among my evangelical friends here in Texas. And I lovingly refer to this area as the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. However, I feel that this is really, to me, the most scriptural view of marriage. So I want to begin with a story. And if you don't know by now, I love stories. I like to hear them. I like to tell them. My former colleagues at the college where I work used to get to hear lots of stories about my kids and other things. And they graciously laughed and smiled at the appropriate moments and listened to all my awesome stories. But today I want to share something about something that happened to a friend of mine when we were newlyweds. My wife and I had been married just a few months. We were involved in a church in Lewisville, Texas, and I was part of a men's Bible study. I had some really great friends in that group. We were meeting one week, and one of the guys was sharing about some things that had happened that week, and I can't remember the exact details, but he began talking about how he and his wife disagreed on something and that he had to quote-unquote pull rank and make the decision, whatever decision that was. And he literally used the phrase pull rank. So I think many of us in the room were a bit stunned, really didn't know what to say. You know, I was thinking at the time, oh, no, you didn't. But I was really coming out of that whole submissive idea and reconstructing what I believed around that. So I don't know what I said exactly, but I do remember telling my wife, and she was all, no. And I was all, yeah, he said that. And it wasn't, you know, it's not to shame him, but I think it was one of those times that made me realize a bit how messed up we can be in our beliefs and not even realize it. And this is, and, you know, was at the time a super nice guy. I think he was just playing out his role like he believed and was probably taught. And I don't fault him for that. I don't agree with how he handled the situation. And I didn't even agree, you know, at the time with how he handled that situation. But, you know, but again, we just kind of, sometimes we just get into these roles. We don't really think about how that affects maybe the other person or others. We just kind of start playing this role because, you know, my pastor said it, or, you know, that's what I grew up believing. So, and I think this is where a lot of evangelicals land, even if they wouldn't put it in those terms. There's a deference to the guy on some occasions, or maybe on most occasions, and people incorrectly, I believe, use scripture to proof text this belief. So there's way more evidence, in my opinion, to look at marriage more from a partnership perspective than this domineering kind of perspective and this submissive perspective. And I grew up from that submissive and domineering perspective, and there are a few reasons why I don't believe in the whole paradigm of the wife submitting to the husband solely, and the husband being the quote-unquote head of the household. So I think it's a more archaic idea. I think it's part of the culture of, you know, the biblical times, but I don't think we're there anymore. So I want to unpack that a bit. So there's one main section of scripture that talks about wives submitting to the husband. It's in Ephesians 5. So there is admittedly a couple of verses that talk about the wives submitting themselves to the husband. So in Ephesians 5:22, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord." And then, but if you look at the verse before it says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Okay, so a little side note on reading scripture. One of the worst things you can do when reading scripture is to take something out of context. And what that means is that you pull a verse out, like a single verse or part of a verse, or even a couple of verses, without reading the surrounding verses or the chapter or chapters. So here's an extreme example I'm about to give you, but it's one that I've used for a long time. So you can pull scriptures out of context, put them together, make them say anything you want. So if we pull these three verses out of context that I'm about to tell you, you can make the Bible say something really crazy. So for example, the three verses are, "And Judas went and hanged himself. Go thou and do likewise, and what thou doest, do as quickly." So all of those are three separate verses, totally taken out of context, pulled out, and used to make a ridiculous teaching, if you will. But you see how this can be really very dangerous when applied to this extreme example. So, and most of the examples aren't this extreme, but the problem is people and pastors do it all the time. Yeah. And yes, I did say pastors, not all pastors do this, but there are still a lot who twist the scripture to either make it say what they think it should say or what they want it to say. And this could be especially true when pastors do a topical teaching. It's really easy just to pull out verses that support what you are teaching on, and it may or may not actually be what the verse is really saying, even if it fits into the sermon, you know, really nicely. So there's also something that I've learned about fairly recently called confirmation bias coming into play here, where you look for evidence to support what you already believe, and you can pull scripture out of context to make it say just about whatever you want as well. And Christians, honestly, can be almost the absolute worst at this. And I'm just saying, just look at what people post on Facebook or forward through email. Much of the time, they don't vet the information. They don't verify that it's true. It just confirms what they believe. And so they grab onto something that confirms what they think or how they believe, regardless of if it's true or has inadequate or misleading information or missing information. So as long as it fits within my purview, I'm going to accept it. And it seriously drives me crazy when I see intelligent people succumbing to this, when all it takes is a few minutes of just, you know, quick searching, verifying the information. And, you know, few scriptures have been as prolifically taken out of context, I think, as the wives submit yourselves to your own husbands. Why do I say this? Well, it's because the verse right before it talks about submitting to each other. And then the next few verses talked about how husbands are supposed to give themselves up for their wives as Christ did to the church. So what I would do, I would encourage you to go and read Ephesians 5 to see what I'm talking about. When you do, you might notice these things. And first of all, there are quite a few more verses that talk to husbands than wives. And, you know, think about that a little bit. The Greek word that's used for submit here when referring to the wife, it's actually in the verse before it in verse 21. So, and there's no way to know that unless you look at the Greek. So those, you know, people who say it specifically applies to the wife here either don't realize that or they're ignoring that the verb is actually in the preceding verse. So these two verses are actually connected and linked together. Other things I've read and heard indicate that they're separate and almost unrelated, that this begins kind of a new section, but really looking at the Greek seems to indicate otherwise. And just a note here, I don't classify myself as a biblical scholar. I've studied a bit of Hebrew. I've studied even less Greek, but you know, I know just about enough to get me in trouble sometimes. But if you look at the Greek, that verb, so these verses are connected. The verb submit is actually in the preceding verse. It's not in this other verse, and so you know that they've got to be linked here. Paul states two different times that the husbands are to love their wives as they love themselves, which is a very, if you think about it, it's a very powerful statement. If you love yourself, you don't lord over this other person. You don't make this person to feel less than or, you know, like they're not worthy of you know, making decisions or helping him make decisions. But it's, you know, the husbands are to love their wives as they love themselves. And the husband's love, as described here, is a sacrificial love. Paul compares the way the husband approaches the marriage relationship is the same way that Christ loved the church, with a sacrificial and giving love. It's hard to do that when your view is to pull rank and be in this submissive and repressive relationship. So those two things just don't go together, in my opinion. And also the word love here in the Greek is the word, or the agape form of the word love, which translates to mean a love that is unconditional. There are other types of words for love in the Greek. This is the one that also is used to describe God's love for us. So the expectation here of a husband's love is that it be unconditional, that it reflect the kind of love that God has for us. So when my wife and I married, we brought our individuality into the relationship, our gifts, our strengths, experiences, just like every couple who comes into a relationship brings their unique gifts and ways that God has gifted them. And as we've grown as a couple, I've learned to rely quite heavily on certain giftings that she has. And discernment is one of those. So there have been moments where she and I have been at a major crossroads. And as we talk through things, I've made these decisions, I've begun to rely more and more on her sense of when God may be calling us to pursue certain things. So for me, I tend to have a sense of the direction that God may be moving and may be moving us in, but then I lean on her to check on the timing, because sometimes I get out way ahead of I think, you know, where and when God wants us to make certain moves. So I used to be a pastor before I left church life. We had a lot of discussions. And a few months before I ended up leaving, we went out of town to spend some time together, pray, just seek the Lord on what he wanted and what his timing was. And, you know, at that time, my wife felt like, yeah, this was the timing that God wants us to leave to do something else. But we had actually had those conversations for a year and a half before we actually ended up making the decision to actually, for me to leave the church that I was at and to pursue something else. And so it was a year and a half of just talking. And, you know, sometimes we talked aggressively. And it was, but yeah, just I have, you know, really ever since then, I've really come to learn to rely on her sense of just when God is moving. And all of this requires that we continually communicate. So God hasn't asked us to, you know, to do big moves often, and we haven't always agreed on every aspect of those big decisions. However, when the big decisions come, we communicate with each other often. We share how we feel, what our perspective is, and come to a conclusion together about what decision we'll make, about the timing of the decision, and then any concerns we might have moving forward or as we're making the decision. And it's not just during big decisions that we focus on communication. It has to be something that we intentionally work towards all the time. You know, communication is one of those things in marriage that takes continual work and effort. For some people, it comes more naturally, and for others, it's something that has to be worked on more. So oddly enough, when my wife and I were married or got married, it came a bit easier for me than for Julie. But it was also something I had focused on in previous relationships, as well as something that, because my family of origin was not the best at communicating, I had determined long before Julie and I had met that it was going to be something that I worked on and strived to be a good communicator, especially when it came to relationships. I think those are really the two keys to establishing this marriage as a partnership. The first is really knowing your spouse. What are they good at? What aspects of decision-making are they strong in? You know, maybe like my wife, they're good at discerning timing or having a feel for when God wants you to make a move or make a decision. Maybe they're good at details and can list out everything that needs to be thought of and thought through before making a decision. Now, I will say to be careful here if you are a detail person, because it's rare to have all or 100% of the information when making a decision. And many times, Father may ask you to do something or go somewhere before you have all the information. But you and your spouse also need to agree that it's the right time and the right situation. So, and there are those times too. But other times, you may want to gather as much info as you can and then come together to make a decision. And then there's others like me that may have a sense of the big picture that God is calling you toward. And again, I've gotten it wrong here too. One example, we started an organic church in our home after I left the ministry, and we had a number of couples join us in the beginning. And it, you know, it grew for a while and then faded to about just two or three couples plus us after, you know, after about 9 or 10 months of us meeting. And it was a good thing. But there are some things I think I personally missed when I was looking to hear from God, and some things I definitely would have done differently. But, you know, this is part of the adventure life for couples as well. I don't know how God has gifted you and your spouse. So this is something that you will have to determine together. So my wife, Julie, she knows this is one of her giftings. It's come into play in different situations, this discernment. And it's something that I've come to rely on again when we make decisions in our marriage. So it may take you both some time to figure out how you're gifted, what you're good at, what your strengths are. And a great place to start would be to ask each other, how do you think God has gifted me? You look at natural strengths and personality, but also look for things that are intangible. Think about certain situations you've had as a couple or instances where your family, where one of the other, you know, has seemed to really thrive. Think about that situation. What happened? What strength rose to the surface? How did others respond, either in the family or outside, you know, friends? Or how did others begin to notice what you did? You can also ask your friends that know you really well that same question. And ask about times your friends have really seen you shine when it comes to relationships relating to your spouse or kids or maybe something else. Chances are you'll have some overlap to these answers, and you can start to see the ways in which God has gifted you. We all have things that we're good at, and strong in ways that God has brought our individuality into the marriage partnership. God hasn't intended for those things to be squashed when we come into marriage, but allows us to lean on each other in different ways for different things as we learn to navigate marriage and grow as a couple while we continue to grow as individuals. You may have been married 5 minutes or you may have been married 50 years. This idea of partnership allows each person to continually grow in their role in the marriage as the marriage itself grows. It sees each person as bringing their individual contributions as well as this interdependence, you know, for the little things as well as the major life events and decisions. And as you grow as a couple, you will find numerous ways you depend and lean on each other as you allow God to be woven into your marriage partnership. As we continue to rely on each other and Father, it is bound to be one adventure after another. And you'll also find ways to connect spiritually with each other. And those may be different for you than other couples. You'll find what works for you here too. What are some ways that you can talk about and grow in your faith together? It doesn't have to look the same as everyone else. Where do you feel you personally connect with God? Maybe you can share that with your spouse. How do you live out your faith? Where do you feel Father nudging you as an individual or even as a couple? Maybe you can volunteer somewhere together. Or as a couple, reach out to a neighbor or coworker. How does God want you to use your marriage to partner together and with Him to love those He has put in your path? And then go do it. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just requires a little effort and a little listening. And I would love to hear about any stories you would like to share. So I pray this week you can be open to where God has you in your relationship with your spouse, and that maybe this week you can begin a new adventure in your marriage. And if you do have any stories to share, you can email me at will@adventurelifeministries.com. I'd love to hear them. And I won't necessarily share them here unless you give me your okay, but I still would love to hear from you. Also, what are some things you would like to hear in upcoming episodes? I do have some plans, some ideas, but those can certainly change at any time. Well, until next week, my friends, grace and peace, and may you live in the adventure that God has invited you into.